It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. We're exploring change, business, AI, and how the workplace is changing. And what one of the big questions I think we're all talking about how AI changes the way we work. But what does it look like in higher ed? And how is AI going to start impacting how we teach, how organizations provide value to their students and their communities, and the possibilities and maybe pitfalls of what AI has bringing to some of these, you know, really big institutions that are responsible for the education of our citizens. And so today we have Jeffrey Roach, who is the Senior Vice President of Healthcare Solutions at RisePoint, which is RisePoint is an education learning workforce solutions. Their primary focus is on educational institutions and universities. So we're going to get into it today with Jeffrey on his what he understands as someone who has been in this space for a long time, and how universities can and should be using AI and what that might mean for the broader workforce. Jeffrey Roach, thanks so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
So good to be here with you. Thank you.
All right. So AI and learning. So you lead a team focused on healthcare organizations, the universities that provide healthcare, the healthcare classes. But your organization more broadly is really about bringing these universities into the 21st century. It even feels old to say that. I am very interested in what universities are struggling with, and you know how their attitude is, you know, when you're talking to them about AI. Let's just level set with, like, are you coming into a friendly, like, hey, yeah, or is it more like, whoa, no, AI is going to ruin everything?
Yeah, I think, Josh, in many cases, oftentimes there's still a pretty strong emphasis on the academic side that they're more concerned about the impact of AI to actually plagiarism and cheating.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, you're definitely seeing some change in a very positive manner. There's definitely been some academic institutions that have really started to kind of channel it as, look, it's here to stay. And in healthcare, it's actually been here for a long time. I mean, if you really want to understand that, right? I mean, AI has been in our medical devices, our medical technology for quite some time. Mm. And, you know, even when I was at Siemens, for example, one of the things that I always had the privilege to do was to go to colleges around the country. And one of the things that was interested is I would ask faculty, I would ask leaders in the academic space, how often are you actually teaching about AI, both from the ethical use of it, but also from the practical application of it to our future healthcare professionals? And generally the consensus was, well, we talk about it, but we don't really go into great detail, or we don't actually practice with it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I mean, the reality of it is, and there's no discipline in healthcare whatsoever that should be making a decision not to actually integrate it into the curriculum, not to utilize it, particularly in the effective training, because it's what they're going to see and experience when they get to the hospital or into those clinical environments, because ultimately it's there in a very big way. It's there in pharmaceutical ways. It's there in imaging ways. It's there in nursing. And so to answer your question, there's a lot more work to do in this space.
Yeah. So it's a reality. Your perspective and the way that you try to talk to your clients is, hey, it's a reality. When you show up to the workplace, they're going to be using AI. And
yeah.
I think that's a really useful reframe. Okay. So so there's a couple levels, which is like, I'm going to prep you to be able to use AI in the work. But then there's the other level of, how do I use AI in the teaching of the class. Yep. So let's forego the first one, because there's a lot of content out there about how to use AI, and it's going to be different for everybody. I'm really interested and specifically how, you know, what I'm listening for is how can we help organizations and leaders like yourself bring AI into the process of learning?
Yeah. So we're fortunate, I mean, in both our healthcare space and then also all the other disciplines that we support, you know, we have a phenomenal academic services team, and the leader of that area has certainly been a very thoughtful expert in the effective utilization of AI in the actual teaching and learning experience. And so what we've done is we really couple that from a resource perspective, along with members of my team that generally have and continue to be clinicians in the field, both on the education side and also on the healthcare practical application side of it. And so normally what that comes down to is, yes, we'll have those conversations, but we'll also provide them toolkits and resources to understand how you do it. We'll model the way and mm-hmm. demonstrate to them that this is how you can do it effectively. We'll show them the different examples of the amount of time that it takes for a faculty member to create that learning experience with AI and without AI. And we'll also show them the quality that's there, because I think there's definitely been this assumption that if you leverage AI, particularly in the development of those learning types of environments or solutions, it's not going to have the same, you know, quality. It's not going to be as effective, but
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not so sure in my experience that's been the case, because again, I served at a global med tech company. We were using AI in a big way, and using it even in our learning, particularly for the workforce. And so, you know, it was very clear actually that it was better from a scalability perspective. And I'll add, it also creates more equity in the learning, because there's a lot more access to it in other ways that you may not have compared to other elements.
Okay, so you're talking about developing the materials for the class. And what I liked about what you were describing is, hey, we are going to demonstrate how you can do this. We're going to teach you how to teach, how to develop these materials. I'm already thinking, is that the approach that educators should teach their students with? Because there's kind of the, like we said, it's like, you better not use AI to cheat, right? And then there's the folks in the middle who are like, I just expect you to do it. Or those who will change their testing methodology, right? So I read a piece that was like, we got to go back to the blue book and the handwritten and in the class. Right now, I was like, well, I don't know that that's the answer, right? So what you're describing to me sounds like, and I don't even know, I mean, I just didn't think about it, but it's like, hey, we're going to do this assignment and you're going to use AI in the assignment. I mean, it just confirmed for me, that's probably where we're headed, right?
For sure. I think without question, not only where we're heading, it's where we are. And for institutions that are acknowledging and understand the reality of what their students need to be a best prepared future workforce professional, this is exactly where they need to be. I think those that are sort of stuck in the mud, and to your point, want to go back to those blue books, are going to struggle in a space that's constantly evolving and continually adapting. And, you know, what I hear from industry leaders, particularly in healthcare, for example, and I'll give you a direct example that's a really interesting one about it. You know, many hospitals are moving to virtual nursing. And the idea there is that you're going to have nurses who are going to not actually be on the floor, but could be somewhere else in the world, that are going to monitor all the data, dashboards of the actual patients.
Of course that's going to happen. All right.
AI is playing a big role in that. Now, from an efficiency standpoint, what that allows the healthcare system to do is also really, really smart, because it's actually going to allow them to manage the acuity of patients and the needs of patients more effectively.
Yeah.
Now, the question there from an AI preparation end and from a modern learner perspective is, how many academic institutions are actually preparing the workforce for the reality of that? Because hospitals are doing this as we speak. And so
institutions, learning institutions are not known for their speed to adoption.
Exactly. And so like, that's the type of piece where, you know, we, in our work, you know, as we hear that, we immediately begin to think and work through, how do you help them to do that? How do you ensure that you can scale that? Because in this one hospital example, they were talking about 1300 beds going to a virtual nursing monitor type of situation.
That's insane.
You've got to prepare for that. And so, you know, one of the things I will say that I've regularly said as having sat on both the academic and the industry side is industry also has to do a better job of helping academia prepare, because the reality, at least in healthcare, is there's some phenomenal faculty, but many of them have not actually worked in industry for a long time.
Yeah.
And so you have to make sure that you're doing both so that you ultimately are preparing and upskilling them so that they can ultimately do what you need to do from the future workforce perspective.
Okay, let's connect it to, let's draw the analog to a learning and development leader and team inside of a large organization. Siemens, you know, as an example, what should they be thinking about that they haven't already? They certainly are thinking about AI, and their organization is ahead of the, you know, is ahead of the curve. What haven't, do you think, what haven't they considered doing in their, you know, creating a curriculum to educate their modern, their workers, their workforce team? I know, yeah. I'm putting you on the spot. Like, yeah. What's the, yeah. What are they missing? I don't know. I think.
Yeah. I, you know, as you and I were talking about earlier, you know, over the last few years, I've spoken at pretty much every one of the chief learning officer events.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things that I often found fascinating at those events is that many leaders, as they talk about this, don't actually have a real sense of what their exact workforce needs as it relates to this topic. And so one of the most important pieces is actually survey your workforce, because it's a very good likelihood that some of your workforce are going to tell you exactly what they feel they would want to be educated on or trained on.
They know.
And they know, and they may want to lead it. I mean, talk about a great stretch leadership opportunity to allow individuals to lead it. And so, you know, I look at like, I mean, there's been such amazing, innovative startups in this space that are coming, you know, further into this L&D space, that are harnessing the power that AI truly is in this space. And honestly, what I have learned, having met so many of them, what they're actually doing is they provide scale. So regardless of where you are in the world, mm-hmm. you actually have an opportunity to learn at scale. You also have more access in a manner that we've never had before. Because as you know, oftentimes we've had to pay. I mean, I know, you know, certain circumstances, you still have to pay for AI. But if companies are using it as a subscription, the employee doesn't have to pay. And so from a learning end, it actually makes it more equitable. And so from my vantage point, survey your workforce, understand their needs, and then put into practice what you've learned.
Mm-hmm. I love this idea of giving those people inside the opportunity to teach. It makes me, there's sort of this, maybe a larger pattern. So another data point on this kind of bottom up energy that AI is creating. I was just speaking to somebody who was saying that the opportunity, or the problem and opportunity inside of the enterprise, is that a lot of individuals, enterprising individuals, are vibe coding, creating these really interesting, productive apps and bringing them to work.
Yep.
And if you don't acknowledge, if as a company, you, a leader, doesn't acknowledge or, you know, welcome for fear of, or at least be aware of, you're going to have, they are going to use it.
For sure.
They're going to do it. And then nobody's going to get the benefit, and it's going to be all risk. So yeah. It's almost a forced position. And so what you're saying is, hey, your people, of all those people, they have potentially the knowledge of at least the direction we want to go. hey, how are you using it in your work? What's the interesting way that you're doing it? And it's almost like the L&D person is the cultivator or the identifier and cultivator of this, of whatever the next skill might be.
100%. Yeah. And I like that idea of like collaborator or connector, you know, because it, I mean, if you really think about it, in many cases, when we're talking about learning in this space, we're also talking about, you know, making it accessible to all. And I think what's super critical, right, is every role may have a different utilization of it.
Yes, of course.
And I think because we actually haven't asked the workforce,
yeah,
in many cases, that has made them feel like, well, AI is just going to replace me. And so you've had also had that dichotomy. If we recognize that there's so many, you know, digital natives that really love the nature and the notion of what this can become, and allow them to champion with, you know, a whole interdisciplinary group, that's where success and results can really happen.
Such a paradigm shift. And I guess the other kind of unseen or invisible ecosystem that's occurring is this kind of flip top down to bottom up. And maybe we've been doing it for a while now, but AI is just kind of accelerating this challenge and opportunity, right? Like it's I don't know about you, but I've read a ton of articles about like reverse mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's
100%.
What might that, and I'm just going to push us forward to the what ifs in the future, right? If the students are the ones that have, and you're saying, and this is not, I'll point back to another thing where it's like the educator hasn't been in the field for a very long time, nursing or whatever it might be, and these students are coming in. Well, they're going to know more. What is the role of the educator in the future, right? Like what is that? Are we talking about a wholesale change in the kind of the, you know, we always talked about it. It's like the flipped classroom, right? But it's like, this is like the inverted classroom or something. What might that look like in the future?
I think what I would say is I think it will actually create a learning culture that will allow individuals to be a bit more creative and imaginative. I think about healthcare, if we think about healthcare, some of the challenge that we've had in healthcare, particularly as people think about it, is, you know, just think about like when we try to diagnose ourselves, right? I mean, you know, Google doesn't have the same level of expertise. But one of the things I do appreciate when I Google something is when AI gives me almost like a transcription analysis of what's there, there's a lot more fact to that, and it will show you the sources and gives you a chance to actually double check that.
Mm.
Now, obviously, there's always the room for a potential error for sure, just like there is with humans. But I think what it does and what it will do even further in the future is it will actually allow individuals to understand where they can actually have more impact. When I think about healthcare today, you know, it's a space that there's so many roles and so many different things you could do that many people just don't know how to get there. But with AI, you can learn more about it. You can understand more about it. It can guide you. It can become its own navigator for you. And for the professors and for those that have the privilege to prepare the next generation of healthcare professionals, it also can be a great way to engage those learners to understand the practical application. Because AI has not been a clinician. It's never going to be an actual clinician. Does it play a role in being embedded through different technology? Absolutely, in our healthcare ecosystem. But it doesn't actually have the expertise as a clinician. So when you couple it with an actual clinician that's teaching, training, it becomes so much more of a holistic learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's this. I my current hobby horse is the idea that it's the experts who are going to be able to get the most out of AI because they know what questions to ask and how to ask that question, right? You get out what you put into AI. And so that's what I hear when you're talking about someone who is an expert in the field being able to use AI to really bolster them, and it's a order of magnitude more beneficial. And I can even imagine, going back to your first saying, it's like, how do you teach a teacher to use it to create that experience, that in-class experience and education in a way that really improves the experience of the student.
100%.
This is fascinating. Okay, last question. There are hundreds of thousands of Jeffreys out there in the world. I mean, you're a very unique butterfly. I don't mean to say that you're not, but you lead a team of 12 or 13, which is the average size of kind of the leader, the or organizational leader. For those out there who are thinking about or have AI, kind of access to AI, what should be the one of the ideas, principles that they are working with on their team? What should they be doing that maybe is, I don't know, could be like fundamental, foundational, or like they're just not thinking about it like I had said before.
I think what I would encourage every leader to do is similar to like when we were talking about actually ask the team, engage your team in regular team meetings and discussions on how, what's their experience like with AI? Are they seeing the benefits and the value? So, for example, I just did this recently and ultimately, what came out of it was some of the team shared how they had access to certain resources and others didn't. And I had no clue because I didn't have access to the one resource that some of the team members had. And so then I was able to advocate to get them all the same level, that would actually help them make better use of their time when they're analyzing so that they can actually, in many ways, find joy further in the work that they do. I look at like the amount of people in the world and in our work that regularly are just, mired in detail and spreadsheets. But if you can find, a solution to that, you bring so much more joy back to, their work, but also ultimately to the whole team. And so for me, like that's the piece that I think is most critical. You're always going to have some naysayer, for sure. Somebody who's going to be a little bit more risk averse. But you just have to help them understand that there are proper and there should be proper guardrails to ensure it doesn't go out of, out of process. But at the same time, there's just so much more that can be done with it versus without it. And so for me, I just try to always focus on those things. And then the final thing I'll say is like celebrate. Collectively celebrate, how it helps you to be able to do some of the work that you're doing. And at least in our work, it hasn't in any way looked like no one has been replaced by it. It's been 100% augmentation. But I'll even use a different A word. To me, it's been 100% amplification. Because what I've seen the team be able to perform at, I'm certain without those tools would be more burnt out, frankly.
That's so interesting. Maybe this is the opportunity to, like, well, finally, after a decade of burnout, this might be some, glimpse, a glimmer of hope, to kind of get in that direction. And we just have to be able to have that practice, not to, okay, now you can work harder all the time, right? Like there was that HBR study, I think, that came out where it's like, okay, everybody's using AI and they're just working even harder. So I guess we got to work on some, maybe that's the next thing. We'll talk, maybe we'll have you back in a year and we'll talk about how to make sure that folks are setting their own boundaries when it comes to the work now that we have AI. Amazing, Jeffrey Roach. I really appreciate it. Senior Vice President of Healthcare Solutions at Rise Point. You can learn more about Jeffrey and on his LinkedIn. I'm going to spell his name or his LinkedIn tag. Jeffrey, GeoffreyMroche. Jeffrey Roach. Roach, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.